Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston's very own drag superstar Tiffany Morgan is headed into her Silver Jubilee year, marking 25 years of entertaining as a drag artist. To mark the occasion, she seeks to offer a platform for other Kingston-based performers to highlight the rich history and exciting future of the local drag scene. Limestone to Limelight is a program offering support and funding assistance to projects with a focus on Kingston's drag history and future, showcasing the evolution of drag in Kingston. This could include art installations, workshops, performances, and beyond. Proposals will be submitted by early in the new year, and the chosen projects will coincide with Tiffany's official Silver Jubilee celebrations in March 2025 to 2026. I sat down with Tiffany Morgan to chat about her experience of the local drag scene over the past 25 years, and the invitation she's presented to local performers with Limestone to Limelight. So this project, Limestone to Limelight, is a celebration of your Silver Jubilee year, but what made you land on this idea of supporting another project?
Wow. You know, hello, sweepies. It's me, Miss Tiffany Morgan, coming to you live from CFRC. So, yes, the idea came out of just being purely out of ideas. So, my Silver Jubilee year is coming up, March 2025 to March 2026. And I was like, I really want to do a whole bunch of things in that year, but I have no idea what I want to do. I'm like, I have no energy to do anything. And thanks to some projects that I've been doing, I've been able to save up a little bit of money. And now I'm like, you know what? I could just ask other people to do stuff to celebrate my Silver Jubilee here and just give them some money. So to do that. So that's kind of the genesis of the whole idea. But also, it was really becoming an interest of mine because I was able to recently work with Branded to Film and actually do some acting recently with Branded to Film with Doom Boogie. And working with all those other artists, like the visual artists, the sound artists, and even all the other actors who are also musicians and stuff, it was quite the synergy of arts. And I was like, you know what? I really want to be able to bring this towards to the rest of the drag community as well. And I was like, how can I do that? And I'm kind of hoping that this would make some interesting little collaborations and marriages out there.
Interesting. So you're kind of hoping that the applicant would be able to connect with those people throughout their year of doing these events and projects and stuff?
Yeah. I can totally see, you know, like a drag artist working with maybe a videographer or and doing like a documentary or something. You know, it's been a very long time since Miss Tiffany Extreme Close-Up came out. But just highlighting drag since then. But it could be any kind of project, really. It could be visuals, audio, whatever it may be, or an event, or who knows. I'm up for, you know, seeing what kind of applications I get.
The theme is celebrating Kingston's drag history and future. I'm sure you're excited to see different interpretations of this, but what can that mean? What kind of projects are you looking for?
Well, I'm trying not to, you know, trying not to kind of lead people into any kind of project or anything like that. I really want artists to kind of come up with their own ideas and bring forward those ideas. And even if it's an idea that I'm like, well, I may not grant you the fund, but I may be able to connect you to others to kind of make that synergy within the arts world. Like even I was able to connect someone to CFRC. I'm like, you know, CFRC is a really great radio station who does podcasting and stuff. You may want to talk to them. So even just having that kind of collaboration, that kind of meet and greet. But yeah, the Silver Jubilee year, it's surprising to see myself years later. It's a little rare in the drag community for some drag artists to continue doing it past a certain age, and I'm at that certain age. But yeah, 25 years, I think it's a milestone to celebrate. And I want to celebrate with the rest of the drag community here in Kingston. So, yeah. And drag has changed over 25 years here in town.
This project is about celebrating Kingston's drag history and future. So let's start with the history. How would you describe the scene leading up to and when you first started? What were you walking into in the early 2000s?
Yeah. So I first moved to Kingston in August of 99, Queen student. Mm-hmm. Still Queen student, I guess. never finished. Anyway, in August of 99, I moved here and I met the drag scene at the time at our local gay bar. It was very LGBT kind of queer people, and it was just in the local gay bar sort of thing, but it was a very vibrant community. The community had started in the I believe in the late 80s, early 90s, as a way to fundraise for HIV AIDS, and they still had that very passionate, like drag had to be part of doing good for the community, right? And so I came into that scene. I was just enamored by it, just in love with it. And that's when I started doing drag in March of 2000. first time doing drag, it was quite fun going out to the local bar, Club 477. It was called the gay bar in town at the time. And soon after, there was a little drag show, and it was a very vibrant scene at that time. And then there was a little moment, a little hiccup in time, when I was the only performing drag artist in town.
Wow.
No.
That's crazy to think about.
It's really hard. Yeah, you had like a dozen, half dozen, let's say half dozen drag artists, and then suddenly they all retire, mm-hmm. or move away, and then the gay bar closes down, and it's like, where is there? There's no queer space, because it was very much a queer space was supporting drag at that time, mm-hmm. and then we started moving into where I was being invited to do drag at a lot of the arts kind of places. So the for instance, the Modern Fuel Art Gallery hosted me before they moved. Anyway, when it was downtown. Also, the Artel. I don't know if anyone remembers the Artel. They had some kind of burlesque, Broadway, a cabaret, and they were like, "We need a drag queen." Okay, I'll be there. So then suddenly we started having this wellspring years later, and that wellspring hasn't dried up at all. Like, there are so many drag artists, but now it's even more. It's not just not just queer people, and it's not just drag queens. It's drag kings and drag clowns and drag artists, and it's just such a wellspring of art. And yeah, I want to make sure that legacy that we have here in Kingston continues on.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if you could speak to that a bit more, kind of carving out spaces for drag in Kingston. I mean, we don't have a queer bar anymore. I remember, a buzz of excitement when there was potential that there would be one downtown. I was wondering if you could, just speak to carving out new spaces for drag.
Yeah. Well, let me say, like, early, definitely in the early 2000s, having a gay bar would have been like a really great asset to, making sure that you had drag. But I think drag is slowly become a little transcending like the gay bar. It's definitely falling outside of the gay bar. I think even when you look at the other communities around us here too, they're having them at venues that you're like, well, is it a gay space? Is it a straight space? Well, we're not really necessarily thinking about that, because people are just really liking drag. I always have to say that I have to tip my hat to Miss RuPaul out there, and getting it on Netflix. Because Drag Race suddenly getting onto Netflix during the pandemic, and everyone's just sitting at home watching Netflix, and they're like, oh, look at this drag. I think it broke the stereotype in people's minds at that time. Because I remember the stereotype of people like, well, I would love to go see your drag show. They would be talking to me, I'd love to go to see your drag show, but it's at the gay bar, and I don't think I'm welcome at the gay bar. And I'm like, well, you're definitely welcome at the gay bar. Like, hey, if you want to go see a drag show, you're definitely welcome. But now, we're doing drag outside of the gay bars. And And it's okay that you don't have to be gay to go see a drag show. People of all ages and all types love to go see a drag show. I think also I do have to give a little shout out to our grad club, the local grad club here. They've been very supportive over the many years of drag, and even just as an alternative kind of space as well, you know, having queer dances and stuff like that there too. But yeah, the grad club has been there forever and a day. So I do want to give a little shout out to them and donate if you can.
Yeah, I mean, you really spoke to how the scene's changed over the last 25 years that you've been involved in it. What do you think is on the horizon?
Well, I'm hoping that we get out and kind of connect with other art forms out there. So drag has always been kind of like the drag show, right? A live performance show that you would go to. Maybe it's a bingo show. Maybe it's a maybe it's like a brunch or something like that. But it's a very kind of live a live audience type show. And I would love to see drag kind of branching out into different art forms as well. So for instance, like I said, I was asked to do a movie with Branded to Film as Miss Tiffany Morgan. So I was like, look at my drag. My drag is in a movie now. I'm like, suddenly my drag is from a stage and now it's into a movie platform. And I would love to see that for other drag artists in town, not necessarily movies, but even just getting into other art forms out there, whatever they may be, and just kind of finding making a space for themselves out there. So, yeah, we're not just we're taking over the world. And that's a good thing.
I feel like I see that on a big scale. I think of drag queens in LA or Drag Race alum doing music and talk shows and all other kinds of things. But Kingston specifically has such a vibrant art scene. I feel like the opportunity for cross collaboration is right there for the taking.
Can you imagine a drag, a band doing an album or something like that in Kingston? Like, you know.
I absolutely could.
Oh, I know.
And they would perform it at the grad club.
And we'd record it here at CFRC.
And if folks are listening and just can't get enough of you, where can they find you leading up to the holidays and beyond?
Well, leading up to the holidays, so November 30th, Saturday, November 30th, we're having Holiday Spice, a holiday fundraising drag show. And this ties right into the fundraising aspect of, you know, drag. Oh, you have to give back to the community when you're doing drag. So we're raising funds for Rainbow Railroad, which is a charity which helps save LGBTQ lives around the world. Sometimes all it takes is getting a plane ticket to get out of a dangerous situation into a safer space. So Rainbow Railroad really does that. And I try to fundraise for them every year at the Holiday Spice show. It's going to be at the Grad Club Saturday, the November the 30th. And it's going to be a crazy show. If you haven't seen a drag show, I don't know if this would be for the first timers, because it's going to be quite the show. And then afterwards, you'll find me in March. In March, I'll be definitely doing a little Jubilee kind of performance show, but also doing a little meet and greet. So more information, if you want to find more information about both the Limestone of the Limelight kind of call for proposals or for any of my events in town, you can go to my website, tiffany.com. That's TYFFANIE.com. Or if you are like, I can't remember that, go to dragshow.ca, dragshow.ca.
Once again, that was Tiffany Morgan on her upcoming 25th drag anniversary and her new offering, Limestone to Limelight, which will coincide with celebrations next spring. This has been CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, with your headlines for this evening. Next up is your campus news update with CFRC reporter, Ali Asafidi.
Hello, everyone. This is Ali Asafidi, CFRC's campus news reporter, and welcome to my segment about the Equity Town Hall that took place on Tuesday, November 26th. This event, hosted by the Social Issues Commission, aimed to bridge the gap between the student body and administration. providing a space and time for students to ask questions directly to senior admin. The topics discussed were accessibility and student rights, finance and student equity, equity and indigenization, and student voice. The goal of the event was to create an open environment for students to explore these issues, share their voices, and discuss how we can move forward in creating a more inclusive and equitable environment here at Queen's. Some of the administration staff that attended and moderated included the Dean of Arts and Sciences, Vice Principal of Culture, Equity and Inclusion, Associate Vice Provost of University Affairs, Vice Provost and Dean of Student Affairs, and more. The executive staff of the AMS, as well as several senior managers, also participated, including the Campus Affairs Commissioner, Clubs Commissioner, Director of Communications, and Secretary of Internal Affairs. These amazing individuals helped moderate the discussion topics at each table. Before diving in, here's Commissioner Ammer, the Social Issues Commissioner Internal, to tell us more about the event and the aim. Hi, can you please introduce yourself and tell us more about the role of the Social Issues Commissioner Internal?
Hi, my name is Jenna Ahmed. I use she, her pronouns. I'm in my third year of health sciences and I'm the Social Issues Commissioner for the AMS. And a little bit about what I do is I look over some of our committees that work towards making sure that we have a very inclusive space within the Social Issues Commission, as well as run events, whether or even initiatives through the Menstrual Equity Project, which provides people with a month-long period care kits, as well as just kind of these events like the Equity Town Hall.
Can you tell us more about the town hall and what you hope to achieve and what the general goal was?
So the town hall was inaugurated about 3 or 4 years ago during the pandemic. The team back then felt like there was a really strong need to make sure that senior admin were listening to students. And when I stepped into office, I really wanted to change the format that they had a little bit with it, which it was kind of the Social Issues Commissioner would kind of take the questions that students submitted and would ask it to the senior admin, and the senior admin would just kind of respond to it. And I felt like there was a dialogue response that needed to it. I felt like I really wanted to humanize students and senior admin to each other and really hopefully have some of these candid conversations. And that's kind of why we came to the Equity Town Hall here today, to kind of make students have that open communication channel to some of the decision makers at the university.
Based on some of the discussions you've encountered today, do you think it was a productive conversation and a successful event?
Honestly, not to toot my own horn, but I do. I think there was a lot of opportunity for students to talk about some of the things that may have been sitting on their chest for a little while and actually feel like they are getting a response from someone that kind of can relate to that portfolio, as well as I feel like there was a lot of takeaways for the senior administration to take back to their teams and continue advocating for students and ensuring that students' needs are met, and really having that back and forth aspect between the senior admin and between the students hopefully kind of showed what the university does in interest, and as well hopefully taught the AMS what we could do to make sure that we are also hearing and listening to our students.
Thank you so much, Jenna. But before leaving, can you please tell us about any events coming up that are being hosted by the Social Issues Commission?
Well, this is not just being hosted by the Social Issues Commission. The Health Sciences Society, the Computing Student Association, and the Social Issues Commission are getting together as long with another 7 collaborators for the Equity Gala. It will hopefully be really exciting. It's a beautiful place for diverse folk to kind of showcase a fashion runways portion of it, as well as a talent show, and we'll be having a drag performer and a couple other beautiful shows go on. So that's one thing that's coming up on December 4th. That's in Grant Hall. You can check out the Social Issues Commission Instagram, which is literally just Social Issues Commission, for more information about it there. Or you can also just reach out to us there.
That was Commissioner Ammer. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us more about this event and future events that are being hosted. Now diving into the Equity Town Hall and what was said, starting off with accessibility and student rights, one of the key concerns raised was physical accessibility on campus. Queens, being an old building campus, presents challenges, especially with ongoing construction. The construction adds barriers such as large gaping holes in the streets, which pose a risk to students. It is clear that the physical landscape of campus needs more consideration for accessibility as the infrastructure continues to change. Beyond construction, many students pointed out specific areas like the Ban Ree slope and other slopes on campus that make movement difficult. This conversation also touched on weather planning, with students asking what resources are available in case of inclement weather and how the university monitors these conditions to ensure student safety. Under this topic, the discussion shifted to mental health services and their accessibility. It was pointed out that QSAS, Queen's Student Accessibility Services is often inaccessible, raising concerns that accessibility issues aren't being adequately addressed. It is important to note that these are accessibility issues, not just problems unique to QSAS. Student wellness services were also criticized for being difficult to access, with the demand for services growing beyond the capacity of current resources. The growing demand of mental health support is one of the most pressing issues for students today. After our productive conversation, some answers were given about how QSAS and student wellness services can be accessed easier, and how they can benefit us in our academics and our university life. The next topic was finance and student equity. A discussion took place about how financial constraints have impacted staffing levels in student services, with some professional staff positions unable to continue into the next academic year due to budget limitations. The budget model used by Queen's allocates funds based on a formula, and the Faculty of Arts and Science consists of 60% of the university students. It holds the largest deficit. This has led to concerns about how resources are distributed and the impact this has on both students and faculty members. Next up was equity and indigenization. The conversation centered around how the university is trying to balance internal and external pressures to enact policy change. While the university must remain compliant with legal requirements, there is also a desire to ensure that policies and actions align with the broader goals of equity and indigenization. A critical point discussed was the duty to accommodate, which focuses on ensuring that marginalized groups on campus are supported. However, there were concerns about how effectively the university is holding itself accountable for meeting these accommodation needs. The final topic was student voice. One of the biggest challenges discussed was how the university engages with students on issues of equity and inclusion. It was acknowledged that students often feel the pressure to advocate for these issues on their own, but the Student Affairs Office has been working to alleviate some of that pressure. Efforts are being made to diversify the campus environment and take some of the burden off students. Equity ambassadors are being introduced to help guide students through these processes and offer support, particularly when navigating financial aid and other administrative hurdles. That wraps up this segment on the Equity Town Hall. This event provided an important space for students to express their concerns and for the administration to listen. The discussions highlighted the ongoing challenges we face in making Queens more accessible, inclusive, and equitable, but also demonstrated a collective commitment to addressing these issues. As always, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter. Make sure to tune in, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, Kingston. This is Isabella Garrido, your CFRC sports reporter, bringing you the latest updates from the CFRC sports desk. Let's dive into the action from this weekend and look ahead to the games you won't want to miss. The Queens Gales women's hockey team faced a tough matchup against the Brock Badgers, falling just short in a 1-0 loss. Despite their efforts, the Gales struggled to capitalize on their offensive momentum with 36 shots on the net. Goalie Emma Tennant shone bright, saving 25 shots and keeping the game close. Badger scored the lone goal in the first period during a heavily contested game where the Gales racked up 12 penalty minutes but showed impressive defensive resilience. The Gales will regroup and look to bounce back next Saturday, November 30th, when they hit the road to face the Nipissing Lakers. Catch all the action at 4 p.m. on OUA.tv. Over in Toronto, the Queens men's hockey team extended their win streak to 4 with a hard-fought 3-2 victory over the TMU Bold. Goalie Christian Perbeau stood tall, racking up an incredible 45 saves. The Gales established an early lead with goals by Daniel Michaud and Nolan Hutchinson in the first period. And although TMU made it a close contest, a power play goal by Cameron Tolnai in the third secured win. The Gales now boast a 13-3 record as they gear up for a pivotal matchup against the Concordia Stingers, who also sit at the top of the standings. The Gales will next take the ice on November 29th at 7:30 at the Kingston Memorial Center against Toronto Varsity Blues. Mark your calendars for these games on November 29th. Women's basketball takes on the York Lions in an away game at 6 p.m., and the women's volleyball team will face the Toronto Varsity Blues right here at the Arc, also at 6 p.m. And don't forget, this Saturday, CFRC is hosting a Funding Drive wrestling show. It's a great way to support campus and community radio while also enjoying an exciting evening of live wrestling action. That's all for this week's CFRC Sports Desk. This has been Isabella Garrido, keeping you updated on Queens Athletics. Now back to Christina Laurie for your weather report.
Thank you, Isabella. Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting cloudy skies with a low of -1, with wind chill that's going to feel like -3 overnight. On Thursday, November 28th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 60% chance of snow in the morning, then a 60% chance of rain in the afternoon. We have a high of +3 and a UV index of 1 or low. Thursday night, we'll have cloudy periods with a 30% chance of flurries and a low of -1. On Friday, November 29th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries or rain showers and a high of +3 degrees. Friday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries and a low of -1. On Saturday, November 30th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries and a high of +2. Saturday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries and a low of 0. Finishing off the weekend, on Sunday, December 1st, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of flurries and a high of +2. Sunday night, cloudy periods with a 30% chance of flurries and a low of -5. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC traffic report.
This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston traffic report for the week of Monday, November 25th, 2024. Road closures. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Princess 2486 Albert is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert. Collins Bay Road, CN Rail Crossing to Bath is closed November 30th, December 1st, 8th, and 9th from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. each day for the installation of a gas main. Collingwood Street, Earl to Union is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillscrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed for construction related to the Queen's J-Duck. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that's a wrap for the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of November 25th, 2024. And now it's time for CFRC's Community Events Calendar for the week. On Wednesday, November 27th, Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m., and One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7 p.m. Also on Wednesday, November 27th, CFRC will be holding its first annual Radiothon. The Radiothon is a dynamic 24-hour live radio stream featuring the very best in locally produced music and news. Catch your regular favorites and some special one-off programs exclusively on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. The broadcast begins at 8 a.m. Wednesday morning and runs until 8 a.m. Thursday morning. More details are available online at CFRC.ca. On Thursday, November 28th, the Kingston Meistersingers are thrilled to present the musical Bonnie and Clyde, the true crime story of Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow. The show will run for 10 performances from November 21st to December 1st at the newly opened Sesame Theater, located in the new French High School behind the RioCan. Also on Thursday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, November 29th, get ready for a vibrant night of Latin rhythms at the Grad Club. Join us from 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. for an unforgettable dance event featuring salsa, timba, bachata, merengue, and reggaeton across two floors of non-stop music. Tickets available online through Eventbrite and at the door. On Saturday, November 30th, the Independent Wrestling Academy proudly presents Wrestling School of Rock. This family-friendly professional wrestling event is being held in the upper hall of the Spire on 82 Sydenham Street, and a portion of all proceeds goes directly to CFRC 101.9 FM's funding drive. Doors open at 5 p.m., show begins at 5:30. Tickets available online through iwacanada.ca, but a select number of tickets will also be available at the doors for $20. Also on Saturday, November 30th, celebrate 20 years of She Sings Women's Choir with a free show at Chalmers United Church on 212 Berry Street. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. and runs until 9:30 p.m. And finally, on Sunday, December 1st, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. That's a wrap for the community events calendar. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca and don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRCMusic.
Thank you, Jesse. Now we're going to dive into our concert listings for this week. On Wednesday, November 27th, you can head to Hotel Wolf Island for Hotel Sessions Open Mic Night. Musicians join in for their open stage night every Wednesday this fall. This is a free event starting at 7 p.m. and running until 10 p.m. $5 dates will take the stage at Spearhead Brewery with live covers from Blue Rodeo and Neil Young to Mumford & Sons and The Lumineers. Show starts at 7 p.m. and runs until 10 p.m. On Thursday, November 28th, iMother Earth, The Wilderness, and Luscious are teaming up for an exciting show at the Ale House and Canteen. Show starts at 7 p.m. and tickets are $50. The Sadie McFadden Band will also be playing at the Toucan from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. This is a free show. On Friday, November 29th, The Spectators will be playing at the club at the RCHA. You are in for a night of classic rock plus a few surprises. Tickets are $5 and the show runs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Doors are at 4. The Celtic Kitchen Party will be kicking off the weekend at Tiernanog on Friday night with traditional and contemporary Celtic, Irish, and Scottish covers and originals. This is a free show running from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Presented by KPP Concerts, The Brokes, and Blunt Force Llama. Tickets are $17 plus fees and the show starts at 7:30 p.m. running until 10 p.m. Also on Saturday, kick off the festive season with an East Coast Experience Christmas, award-winning alt-folk roots rock ensemble. They'll be playing at the Coven for $85 from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Finishing off the week on Sunday, December 1st, Bill Kirchen's Honky Tonk Holiday Show. Rarely heard holiday numbers from blues, rock and roll, and honky tonk bands. Tickets are $40 and the show runs from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you're looking for an afternoon show on Sunday, the Zoo Bombs, Owl Farm, Echoes, Rev Zed, and Gifts of Guilt will be playing The Mansion at 3 p.m. Tickets are $20. That wraps up your concert listings for this week. Have a concert in Kingston in an area that you would like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us today at cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.